The following audio is from Solid Rock Community Church. More information about Solid Rock Community Church is available at www.solidrockcommunitychurch.com.
Hey, I'm really glad that you're here today. Last week we talked about being properly dressed. And if you weren't here, let me just catch you up really quick. We actually talked about chick flick PG. Can anybody tell me what that stands for? Anybody? Compassion. Humility, forgive, love, kindness, because some of you need a double dose of kindness, patience, gentleness. Good job. How many of you actually tried to put on your proper dress this past week? Three of you. No. That's so encouraging to know that you tried to apply the message. Three of you. So we talked about, if you're going to be a Jesus follower, we talked about what you're supposed to wear, and if you weren't here last week, I just encourage you to, listen to the podcast. I think it would help you understand what we are talking about. The name of this series is Invited, and we've been asking the question, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And we've been looking at some narratives in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John where Jesus invited people to follow him, or where he talked to people about what it means to follow. And we have talked throughout this series that there are some huge, huge benefits to following Jesus. That's pretty much what this series has been about. But as many of you have discovered, and as everybody ultimately discovers, at some point along the way, it's going to cost you something, that there is a price to pay for following Jesus. And it's in that moment when you discover whose you really are. It's in that moment that you discover, am I really a follower of Jesus, or am I just a consumer? And so today, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture out of the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 8. And in Mark chapter 8, Jesus realizes that the people who are following him, they've sort of been, just sort of along for the ride. They're really just consumers. They're not really necessarily followers of Jesus. And so Jesus, in this moment, does a little teaching that opens the door to some, big life questions that I want us to wrestle with for just a little bit this morning during our time together. Now, as we've said, throughout this series, there are some huge benefits to following Jesus. I mean, there just are. I mean, you're going to be a better father. You're going to be a better mother. You're going to be a better parent. You're going to be a better person. You're going to be more honest. You're going to forgive quicker. You're going to be more generous. You're going to serve with more enthusiasm. You're going to avoid a lot of pain and regret. I mean, there are huge benefits to following Jesus. In fact, Jesus made this statement. He said, if you obey what I teach, you're like a person who built their house on a rock. And if you don't obey what I've taught, then you're like a person who built their house on the sand. And then when the storms of life come, if you built your house on the rock, then you stand. If you built your house on the sand, then you don't. And many of you have seen that in people's lives. You've watched people walk through some very, very, very difficult things in their life. And because they had a firm, faith foundation, you just sort of look at them like, wow, that's amazing. Look at how they respond. So there are some huge benefits to following Jesus, but at some point along the way, there's a price to pay. And so it's at this point in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus kind of explains to his first century, physical, right there in the moment, followers, what that looks like. And he lays out for them what it means to follow him, to follow Jesus. So in Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34, here's what he says. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he began to teach. So there's this huge crowd that's gathered together. The apostles are there with Jesus, and he's like, okay, everybody gather around. Everybody, all you apostles, you guys sit down in the front there because you're really going to need this. And Peter, you need to sit in the, right in on the front row there. Everybody gather around, and then Jesus reveals to them what it's going to mean from this point forward to follow him. Now, this is very important what I'm about to say to you, because this, when Jesus is doing this, I'll give you a little context. This is a literal, physical, in the moment, eyeball to eyeball conversation with Jesus, and what Jesus says to them is absolutely literal because of what's about to happen, you know, literally what's about to happen to him. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem. He is going to be arrested. He is going to be tried. He is going to be crucified. And if you follow too closely behind the person, you know, that's going to be, you know, arrested, tried, and crucified, well, then you might be arrested, tried, and crucified as well, because they might, you know, confuse you as someone who's actually a part of that group. And so Jesus, as he's teaching this crowd and his apostles are there, he wants them to know up front what's about to happen. Now, here's the great news for you and the great news for me, okay? No matter how closely you follow Jesus, you will not be crucified. That's not going to happen. You may have to make some difficult decisions, but nothing, you know, like what these guys are about to face. So listen to what Jesus says to the crowd that's gathered together that day. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple, which just simply means follower, whoever wants to be my follower must deny themselves and take up, and this scared them to death, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever really wants to be my disciple, whoever really wants to be my follower, you know, not just simply be a Jesus consumer, you know, hey, I like to follow Jesus because, you know, that's kind of a cool thing to do. You know, I like to follow Jesus because, you know, I'm actually a better person. Things go better. In fact, our marriage, since we've been following Jesus, it's just way so much better. And that's good because there's huge benefits to following Jesus. No question about that. But he's like, if you really want to be my follower, you know, from time to time, he says, you're going to have to deny yourself. Now, that's not like some big theological scary thing, okay? I mean, you do this all the time. You do this at the table. Hey, would you like some dessert? No, I'm going to deny myself. That's really what that means. That's what it means. To deny yourself simply means to say no to you. Here's what I want, but I'm not really sure that's best for me. So you know what? I'm going to say no to me. In the book we've been studying in our small group, Mark Batterson in his book, if he calls it making decisions against yourself. That's how he says it. You know, we got a couple of options here, and hey, this would really be fun and great over here, but I'm not really sure that's the most beneficial thing for me to do. I'm really not sure that's a healthy thing for me to do. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say no to me. So all of us in this auditorium this morning, we know what it is, you know, to deny ourselves. And Jesus says, I just want you to know up front, there are going to be times, there are going to be moments, there are going to be forks in the road, you know, crossroads, there are going to be, you know, intersections, there's going to be points of tension where what I want for you and what you want for you are going to be different. And it's in that moment you have to decide if you're going to be a consumer or if you're going to be a follower. And if you decide to be a follower, then you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to say no to you in order to follow me. And Jesus looks out at the crowd and he says, look, and I don't want you to miss, you know, where this is going. I don't want to pull any punches. I don't want anybody to be surprised about, you know, what I'm about to say. But if you decide to follow me, from this point forward, you just need to mentally strap on the ideal that you're going to have to pick up a cross. Now, when we think cross, we think jewelry and, you know, we think maybe about a picture that hung in our parents' home or maybe a picture that hung in, you know, one of your homes or, you know, maybe, you know, we've seen a couple of movies and it's been gory and there was music playing in the background, and if you had muted it, maybe it wasn't so bad, but you've never smelled it, you've never seen it. In fact, I could give you graphic descriptions of what happens to a body when it's crucified, and some of you would have to get up and leave the room. We've never seen it, and it's very, very much glorified, and it's very, very much romanticized, but I'm telling you, the crowd there that day listening to Jesus, The people sitting there in that crowd, they would have passed many, many crosses because Rome left the crosses up there as long as they possibly could. And the reason they left them up there so they could see those bodies up there was to terrify the people into submission. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible way to die. And Jesus said, you just need to understand, if you're going to follow me from this point forward, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to deny yourself. Now, you can imagine as he's talking, you know, they're like scared to death, right? And I'm sure that maybe some of the people in the crowd were like, you know, I think this is where I say goodbye. You know, I think this is where, you know, this has been great, and you know, the whole miracle thing, and you know, you healed my mother-in-law, and still kind of conflicted over that, but you know, it was a great miracle and all of that, and it was great, you know, and you fed everybody, and there's that whole walking on the water thing, and hey, you know, I got that, but it's been awesome, but now you're telling us it's going to cost us something? I'm not so sure. Are you ready for this? I'm not so sure following you is going to be worth it from this point on. And Jesus, he knows the hearts of men. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows, you know, that it scares us to death. I mean, it's why some of you left the church. It's why some of you haven't been back in church in a long, long time, because it just costs too much to follow Jesus. It's like, you know, I'll come back later, you know, at a different time. And it's not that you don't believe. It's just that you don't want to say no to you. I understand that. Jesus understood that. And so he's looking out at this crowd. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like us. You know, it's like, I don't know. You know, it's like he didn't tell us that up front, you know, when he said that. And Jesus is like, okay, now, before you leave, before you get freaked out, before you get too worried, let me put the invitation to follow me in a broader context, okay? And here's the point, and I'm telling you, if you're not a Bible person, if you're not someone who's, you know, takes the scripture seriously, I mean, what Jesus says here is so brilliant. I mean, you read this kind of stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, who could make this up? This is so deep and so rich and so powerful, what he's about to say. Listen to what Jesus says to this crowd that's suddenly worried about, is it worth it really to follow Jesus? Take a look at this. He says, for whoever wants to save their life. That's me. Anybody out here want to save your life? Anybody? Yeah, you want to save your life too, right? I mean, that's something you want to do. I mean, that's why you eat like you do. That's why you exercise, right? You want to save your life. You know, anybody want to save their life? And everybody in the crowd is like, oh yeah, I want to save. So everybody in the crowd is like, okay, I'm on the same page with you, Jesus. We all want to save our lives. And then he says, whoever wants to save their lives will lose it. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. No matter how well I eat, no matter how well I exercise, no matter, you know, how, you know, staying out of whatever kind of environment it is that I need to stay away from, no matter how many habits I break, no matter how much, you know, I want to save my life, no matter, one day, I'm going to lose it. And everybody's going like, we're with you. We're with you, Jesus. And then he continues, but, he says, whoever loses their life for me, whoever loses their life, because that's everybody. Everybody's going to lose their life at some point. But whoever chooses to follow me, and in the process of following me, loses their life that they're going to lose anyway, you know, loses something of value that they're going to die and leave, you know, anyway, loses a relationship that's going to end anyway, loses anything that they would say, hey, this is my life, you know, this is what life is about to me. Jesus says, anyone who loses what they, you know, would consider life because they choose to follow me, and he says, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. It's like, what? He says, yeah. He says, I know I'm scaring you to death, you know, I got that, but I just need you to know, Jesus would say, I just need you to know the end game. That the life that you're trying to save, that you're going to lose. But wow, if you follow me and you lose your life, you know, or, you know, whatever life is to you, if you follow me and you lose that opportunity, if you follow me and you lose that relationship, In following me, you lose something that you consider valuable. I just want you to know, you were going to lose it anyway, but if you lose it for me, if you lose it because you lost it because you decided to follow me, you know, there was this fork in the road and, you know, you decided to say no to you and yes to me, I'm just telling you, you're saving your life. What seems like a loss to you is really not a loss at all, because whatever it is you lose, you're going to have to lose it anyway. But I'm giving you an opportunity to lose it with some purpose and some meaning attached to it. It's like, wow. And he's not done. I mean, he goes on. And then he asks them a really, really important question. And if you grew up in church, you probably heard these questions before. He says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit? And forfeit means have to pay, give up, trade in, you know, lose. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? He says, let's play an imaginary game. Let's imagine you had everything. Everything. Let's imagine you had everybody. Let's imagine you had every opportunity. Let's imagine that, you know, people looked at you and said, oh my gosh, would you look at her? She's got the whole world. Would you look at him? He's got the whole world. I mean, look where he lives. Look what he drives. Look where he travels. Look how he travels. Look, you know, what he travels with. I mean, oh my gosh, that person, that couple, they've got the whole world. Jesus says to the crowd, he says, think about this. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world? In other words, just use your wildest imagination. You've got it all, you know, however that works for you. For some of you, it's cars. For some of you, it's real estate. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you know, whatever the world is for you. He says, what good is it if you gain the whole world and then at the end of the life that you're trying to save, that we all lose, what if at the end of the life, and I mean, you had a good life, right? I mean, it's like an awesome life. I mean, it's just the awesomest life that anyone could possibly have. What if at the end of that enviable, life, incredible life that everybody, you know, wanted, that everybody looked at you and they were jealous of, they just wanted that. He said, what if at the end of that life that you can't hold on to anyway, you forfeited, you gave away, you gave up, you traded off your soul. Now, if you're a person here this morning that thinks, well, I don't really believe there's like a soul, okay? I just believe that when you die, that's it. It's over, okay? And, you know, I understand that. But did you know that most of the people probably in Jesus's Jewish community believe that? There was a group of people there in Jesus' day. They were called the Sadducees, and they believed that once you died, that was it. That you were simply here for the pleasure of God. And then once you died, that was it. That there was absolutely no afterlife, which is why, they were sad, you see. Waited all morning to say that, you know. Maybe you can use that tomorrow. So anyway, The Sadducees, little Bible trivia, the Sadducees actually taught that there is no resurrection. They actually taught that there's no afterlife. You know, and the reason they believe that is because if you take the Old Testament, you know, Genesis and the prophets, if you take that, you can't find anything in there about heaven. There's no teaching in the Old Testament that says, hey, here's how you go to heaven, here's what it's like in heaven, you know, here's what happens in the afterlife. The entire Old Testament was written as if once you die, that's it. Life's over. And then there was a group of Jewish people who came along and said, no, we actually believe that there's an afterlife. And Jesus came along and said, you know what? You're right. There is a heaven. And your soul, and see, most of us believe that, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not a Jesus follower, you don't have a lot of religious beliefs or any of that. 97% of Americans believe that there is something beyond this life. And 97% of us can't be wrong, right? Right? So anyway, But most people believe there's an afterlife. Jesus believed that there was an afterlife. And Jesus says, now, just use your imagination. What if at the end of the most amazing, awesome life imaginable, you realize that by living, you know, this incredible life, you forfeited eternity. You forfeited your soul. Say, well, what does that mean? You know, you forfeit your soul. Well, Jesus doesn't tell us. He doesn't really tell us. But I think it's not good to forfeit your soul. Maybe it just means you're out of business. You're out of existence. Maybe it means you're tormented. Maybe it means hell. Maybe, I don't know. Jesus, he doesn't tell us. But he says, but if you knew that the most amazing life in the world, that hanging on to that would cause you to forfeit your soul, how would you respond to that equation? And while they're thinking about that, he continues because he's so brilliant, and he says this, or what can, and actually for us, you know, in the future, a better translation would be what would, or what would you give in exchange for your soul? He says to this crowd, he said, let's just turn it around, okay? Let's think about it this way. Let's say that you're at the end of your awesome life, and you know, you've got massive possessions, you've got everything that you could possibly want in this life. I mean, you're just like the greatest, you've amassed all of this wealth. But you're at the end of your life, and it dawns on you, and maybe an angel shows up. I mean, you know, it's hypothetical. And all of a sudden, you realize, oh my goodness, I am about to go into an eternity where I have forfeited my soul. And Jesus says, in that moment, and this is such a great question, in that moment, what would you trade to get your soul back? What would you trade so that you would not have to forfeit your soul? And of course, everybody knew the answer to that. You would trade everything. You would trade it all. You'd give it all. You wouldn't negotiate. No, what do I need to give up to not for somebody? Can we? No. What do I have to do? You have to give up everything? Okay, you got it, because I'm going to lose it anyway in the end. And in that moment, Jesus actually answers both of those questions. What good is it if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? It's no good. Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? Everything. To which Jesus, the brilliant teacher, would say, okay, look what you just discovered about yourself. Those of you who are afraid to follow me, those who are afraid that you're going to have to give something up, those of you who are afraid, oh, I might have to say no to me, you've just made a very remarkable discovery about yourself, and here's what you just discovered. You consider your soul of greater worth than all your possessions. You consider your soul of more value than anyone you would ever know or anyone that you may ever have a relationship with. You consider your soul of more value, of such great value, that there are scenarios in which you would trade all of your things and maybe all of your potential things in order to save your soul. And that is a remarkable, life-changing, defining moment and discovery for a person to make. And so the people in Jesus' audience who were so scared to follow him, they realize, it dawns on them, oh my gosh, that you're telling us that even if we have to deny ourselves to follow you into Jerusalem, even if we have to deny ourselves in order to be your follower, that whatever we give up to follow you, I mean, we're going to have to give it up anyway because nobody takes anything with them. I mean, you lose everything eventually, right? But you're saying, Jesus, that we have an opportunity to give it up in such a way that it impacts the destination and the shape and the future of our souls. So this really isn't as big a sacrifice as maybe we thought it was when you began this teaching. And Jesus would say, exactly, you're right. If you recognize that you value the future of your soul more than anyone or anything on this planet. He's still not done, okay? And remember, these are literal people, and they're about to get up and go in a direction where, you know, their lives are going to be threatened. And here's what he says. He says, if any of you, you know, talking about the people right there in front of him, this crowd, he's looking at them. If any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, in other words, if you're ashamed of me, in other words, you know, as we go forward and somebody says to you, hey, you're a Jesus follower, and you're like, I'm not really a Jesus follower. I just happen to be walking by. You know, they were selling T-shirts. I was just kind of looking at the T-shirts, you know. I was just here for the miracles. You know, I'm not really a Jesus follower. No. He says, if any of you claim to be my follower when it kind of gets tough, when it starts looking like you're going to have to deny yourself, if all of a sudden you are ashamed to be associated with me, here's what he says, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. It's like, what's that? Well, the Bible speaks to that. That's just one of those, you know, future things where we give an account for our lives. Now, here's somewhat the encouraging thing as you read this. The guy that was front and center was the guy that saw all of this and thought, well, I'll never deny you. I'll never be ashamed of you. Anybody know who that was? Yeah, that was Peter. Peter's the guy that looked at Jesus and said, we know who you are. You're the Messiah. This is the guy just a few verses earlier than our passage who took Jesus off to the side and rebuked Jesus and, you know, get behind me, Satan, and all that. I mean, you know, that's when that happened. And Peter's like, man, I'll never deny you. I'll never be ashamed of you. And then, as you know, if you grew up in church, you know this story. Not too long after that, a middle school girl points at him and says, aren't you one of those Galileans? Aren't you one of those followers? Never heard of him. And Peter denies Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He kicked him out. You're out of here, Peter. Get out. No, he didn't do that, did he? You know what he said? He says, Peter, I forgive you, and now I'm going to put you in charge of the whole thing. Now, don't do that again. And Peter died because of what he saw, a risen Savior. So what's the moral of this story? Well, it's a good one. It's this. It's that salvation's free. That won't cost you anything. That you become a child of God by placing your faith in Jesus, because Jesus at the cross paid for your salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it. We all fall short. There's nothing you can do to earn what Jesus did at the cross. But following Christ in your lifestyle, following Christ in this life, following Christ in this generation, this sinful and adulterous generation, is going to eventually cost you something. In other words, at some point in the journey, there's going to be a conflict of interest, and you're going to have a decision to make. And in that moment, you will know, oh, this is that moment that we're talking about today, because the thing, you know, that it is that you feel you need to do or not do, you know, it feels like a moral imperative to you. That's what it feels like. In other words, it's going to be something that, you know, not everybody else is going to need to do. It's going to be something not necessarily that everybody else feels like they need to stop doing. It's not going to be something necessarily that everybody around you agrees needs to be done or not be done. But it will be as if inside of you, your conscience will just come alive, and you're just going to know, if I'm going to be a Jesus follower, then I can't go. I can't participate. You know, I need to stay, or I need to leave, or I need to not call back. I need to, you know, not take that job. I need to not make that move. I need to not take that raise. I need to not take that position. You're just going to know. And it's not going to be a verse, and it's not going to be a sermon. You're just going to know, oh my gosh, this is that moment where I have to decide. Am I a Jesus consumer, or am I a Jesus follower? Because to follow Jesus from this point forward, it's going to cost me something. And for you, it's going to feel like a right or wrong issue. Not only that, but it's going to feel like a death as well. Because for some of you, because of some, it's going to be a part of your dream. You know, I've always dreamed that someday I would, and you know, then I ended up, I got to that moment, and I realized that to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to die to my dream. You know, I've always imagined that, you know, one day I would grow up, and I always imagined, and I thought, you know, maybe someday, maybe one day, and then I got to the place to where I actually had that opportunity, and I realized that because of circumstances, that if I went forward, you know, with that, that I would basically be turning my back on following Jesus. And it's going to feel like a death. But you know what else it's going to be? In the long run, it's going to be like a defining moment for you. Because if you decide to say no to you and yes to Jesus, you will discover something that you cannot discover any other way. You will discover in that defining moment whose you really are. In that moment, you will discover, I'm not just a consumer, I'm a follower of Jesus, because I said no to me and I said yes to him. And as difficult as that is, and as agonizing as that is, and as emotional as that is, that's what I want for every single one of you. Because in that moment, you will never ever be the same. I know for me personally, I remember incidents in my own personal life, especially in high school for me, where I thought, okay, this is going to cost me. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at it, oh, this is not going to benefit me. I may lose some friendships. I may, you know, and it's a story that happened to me that I'll never forget. And for me, it was a defining moment. I was a junior in high school, and I had just recently, you know, put my faith in Christ within that last year. And I was trying to be a Jesus follower in high school. And I remember a friend, not a really close friend, but a friend of mine invited me to a party. You know, a lot of the cool kids supposedly were going to be there, whatever that means. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to go to that party. And so we hopped in his car, and we drove to his house where the party was. And you got to remember, this is like in the era of, this is like the hippie movement, free drugs, free love, and long hair. And I used to have hair, anyway. So, but anyway, so, you know, we got to the house where the party was. And as soon as I walked in, it was just one of those moments where I realized, okay, I just knew, I can't stay. If I want to be a Jesus follower, I can't stay. I have to leave. People were getting drunk. People were getting stoned. Other couples were in back bedrooms doing things that are only reserved for marriage. And I knew that I could not stay. And so I went to my friend and I said, hey, I got to leave. And, you know, I need you, if you would, to take me home. And I could tell he was a little upset because he wanted to stay at the party. And he looked at me and he said, okay, if you want me to take you home, then you got to pay me gas money. And at the time, gas was like 30 cents a gallon, if you can believe that. Yeah, that dates me. I know. But, you know, so he took me, you know, we got in the car and I said, no problem. I gave him the money for gas and he took me home. And for me personally, at that particular moment in my life, it was a very, very defining moment, because had I stayed and participated in that, I knew that it would mean that I would have had to have turned my back away from Jesus and my passion for Christ. And so I said, you know what? I can't stay. I got to go. I got to leave. And see, here's the other thing. This is a story that now I'm at this point in season in my life. This is a story that I want to tell my grandchildren. This is a story that I want them to hear. And my prayer, my hope is that it's a story that will instill a passion for Jesus in them. That following Jesus, there are huge benefits. But every once in a while, you're going to have to say no to you and yes to Jesus, and it's going to cost you. I remember years ago, one of our elders sharing with me the story of how on his job, he was asked to do some unethical things. And he just knew, because they told him, hey, that's just how we do things around here at this business. And so he just knew he couldn't do that. So he went to his management, and he's like, I can't do this anymore. Because he knew that if he continued to do what management was asking him to do, that he would have had to have turned his back, you know, away from, you know, his love and his passion for Jesus, it would have taken him in a different direction. So you know what he did? He walked in and said, you know what? I can't stay here. And he left the company and he gave up money. He gave up his paycheck. And you know what? He still had bills to pay, a car payment, house payment, three teenagers at home. It cost him something to follow Jesus. And you know what? You know, since that time, God has honored that, by the way. I mean, he and his family have never lacked for anything. In fact, shortly after that happened, it was so interesting, he shared that with us. God gave him a job where every couple of weeks he got the use of a brand new car and free gas. That's pretty cool, huh? But the point is this, that sometimes following Jesus is going to cost you something. Salvation's free. It won't cost you anything. I mean, Jesus did all that at the cross. But following Christ will eventually cost you something. Now, the good news is I don't think you have to worry about this. I really don't. Because when the moment comes, you're going to know. You're going to know. If you've been following Jesus to the best of your ability, you know, and you may not understand everything or necessarily even believe everything, but you're growing and you're learning. When that moment comes, you're going to know. You're going to know, oh, this is that thing that we're talking about today. This is that I can't say, you know, yes to me and Jesus. I'm going to have to say no to one of us. And you're just going to know. You know something? I think you're going to do the right thing. I think God has been so faithful to you in the past that it's going to be like, you know, this is that thing, and yeah, it's difficult, and yeah, it's, you know, it's emotional, and it does feel like a death because, you know, I just thought we had a future together. I really did. I thought we had a future together. And now I found out this about him, or I found out this about her, and it's like, wow, we're really not going to have a future, and it feels like a death to you. But I'm about to discover whose I really am. And you know what? I just don't think you need to worry. I think you're going to do the right thing. And when the time comes, when the moment comes, when the moments come, you will know. And I think you'll do the right thing. For others of you, you kind of feel like I've been following you around on your job. I'm looking over your shoulder because you're like, I can't believe this. This is exactly what I'm dealing with. This is exactly where I am. I've got to give somebody an answer this week. They've sent me a text. I haven't even responded yet. I've got an email waiting for me at home, and there's something that I've got to respond to. And I'm just torn, but my conscience is bothering me, and it just feels like a moral imperative to walk away. It feels like a death, and you're right in the middle of that. So let me just say something to you, okay? Since you just acknowledged that your soul has more value to you than anything in the world, and since it cannot be a coincidence that I'm talking about this today, and since God has been so faithful to you in the past, come on. You've been invited to really follow Jesus, because here's the deal. In the future, this is just going to be a story that you tell. That's it. It's going to be a story that you tell. And will it be a story of, well, you know, I was a Christian and I was following Jesus and I was doing the best that I could, and then there was this thing? What story do you want to tell? Which story do you want to tell? And will it be a story of, I couldn't say no to me, or I decided to say no to me? I couldn't say yes to Jesus, or I decided to say yes to Jesus. Which story do you want to tell? You've been invited to follow. Salvation's free. It'll cost you nothing. Following Christ eventually is going to cost you something. And that's okay. Because of the discovery that you're going to make about you and the faithfulness of your Heavenly Father. One last thing, Alberto, would you come up? One last thing. In that crowd there that day, it was a large crowd that had gathered around Jesus. There were lots and lots of people. And do you know what happened to the people that said no to Jesus? That's too much to ask. Do you know what happened to them? Me neither. I have no idea. But you know what I bet? I bet on the other side of a resurrected Jesus, I bet on the other side of the day that the streets of Jerusalem were packed with people because Jesus had risen from the dead. I bet you they would have given everything to go back to that moment and accept that invitation to follow Jesus. Salvation's free. It's not going to cost you anything. Following Jesus will eventually cost you something. Refusing to follow him, I think, will cost you a lot more. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray with you this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus, for what Christ did for you by dying on the cross for your sins, I want to invite you to do that today. In fact, would you just pray this prayer with me in your heart? And you don't have to use my words. You can use your own words. God sees your heart. But would you just, it's a simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and that he not only died for the sins of the whole world, but I believe that he died for me personally. And today, I want to accept the invitation to follow him, and I want to put my faith in what he did for me when he died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins, and thank you for receiving me into your family. For others of you, maybe today, maybe it's a wake-up call. It's a time to recommit to following Jesus. We're all at different places in our journey and what God might be speaking to us. And Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for preserving this conversation between your Son and his followers. Thank you for preserving it for us to wrestle with. And Father, I know that this message lands in many, many places for many, many people. Would you give us the insight, the understanding to navigate what we've discovered today and the strength to follow through? Father, I pray for anyone who may be in college here this morning, who they're just right in the middle of that. You know, what do I do with my life? Do I put Jesus on hold and serve him when I'm 60? What do I do? For high school students who are facing a culture that could care less about you or anything related to you. For the businessmen and women who work in a culture where your name is rarely used in a positive way, would you just give them eyes to see that they would choose to follow you? In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand together with me? Thank you so much for being here today. And pray that wherever this message landed with you today, that you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Okay? God bless you. I will see you next week.